the Holy Spirit gave me yesterday as I was waiting on him and preparing, and I was asking him about a song. And sometimes I don't remember too many songs, but that one came to me, and the amazing thing was is that I could sing every word of it. So I guess that was a miracle in itself. But today is the day of salvation. Did you know that? To call upon him as our Savior and Lord, to be saved and set apart for his purpose. So we're grateful that we have a God that has redeemed us by his blood, called us by his name, directed us in his purpose, brought us together in the relationships of the body of Christ. And we're thankful today for the Holy Spirit that is here now. He's here in a personal way because he is here for you specifically. This of course will probably not end up being a general message. I could take there, you know, I want it to be something personal to you and your relationship with God. So thank you, Lord. Let's just stand up just for a moment. And it's wonderful to be able to stand up, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we have come expecting, thanking you for your love, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for giving it each one of us, for increasing us in our knowledge and relationship with you. And thank you for giving us a personal breakthrough in our relationship with you. And we just receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to have you be seated, and I'm going to just start out by doing a little bit of recall on some of the stuff that I taught last week. In Genesis 8:14, God reveals himself as the God of the hard place to Abraham, to Sarah, and to his seed. How many know we're his seed? He's our God of the hard place. And we find ourselves sometimes in a very hard place. And sometimes we let that situation that we're in defeat us. We feel inferior, we feel discouraged, we feel inadequate. We know God's there, but we really don't know how to connect with him. And we end up discouraged. But yet he reveals himself to us as the God of the hard place. Now we can take Abraham and Sarah in that situation they were in. And of course it was a wonderful miracle when Isaac was born, and the miracles that were worked and continue to be worked down through the generations in God's people. Then Christ came, and the miracle, of course, is still occurring with multi-millions of people receiving Christ, and will be there at his coming. So it was one of the most phenomenal miracles that occurred in, started with Abraham and Sarah, and they were in a very difficult place because they could not have a child on their own, and it was really an impossibility that occurred. Now, God is the God of impossibility. As much as we are not conditioned in our thinking, or many times our minds have not been renewed, or we're not renewing our mind to the reality of the way God is, He fulfills in our life impossibilities when we exercise faith in Him. Last week I felt I kind of had, you know, like a word on the that God was going to touch physical brains. And, you know, I haven't dropped that. I really believe that if you've received that, I think that, you know, there can be a miracle where God can restore body parts. He can restore brains. And, you know, we're probably not, sometimes we're not in our expectancy, we're not walking in that level. Not saying we can't be, but I ordered a book one time, and I found it, you know, under my bed, and it was called, this book wasn't just a bunch of hype, this was a real account. Have you ever heard of Brother Bivington? Okay, this was back in the 1800s. And the book, of course, was called Remarkable Miracles. I remember hearing somewhere, I don't know if it was a cassette tape or some messages on Brother Bivington. And one of the most unusual people that I've ever heard of. His whole life was dedicated to being in the Spirit and healing, helping people, healing people. Just remarkable. I mean, he would pray for hours, and the miracles that occurred through that ministry were miracles. They were just like the miracles Jesus worked in, you know, when he walked the earth. And so what I'm saying is that if you ever get a chance to, I don't know if it would be an audio or not, where you could get an audio book, you know, today with all this technology and artificial intelligence and everything, you can end up getting a lot of things that, of course, we couldn't get before. But if you ever want to read a book that will challenge your belief of what God can do, you know, it's Brother Bivington. And I'm not saying that he's greater than anybody else that we've read about or anything, but it's called Remarkable Miracles. So we're going to go up a level and another level and another level, because our expectancy sometimes is very, very low. And it's hard for us to believe that God can work the miracles, and that sometimes we need Him to work, or we must resign ourselves to conditions that Christ died for and delivered us from. And it just seems so impossible. And, you know, Brother Bivington really encouraged me okay, to reach out and exercise my faith, probably far beyond what I ever have before. Now, in days past, I walked in some very profound things that occurred, that miracles, and you know, so I'm trying to renew my mind. If we cannot relate to Christ in the power of his resurrection, then we are not relating to Christ at all. We're relating to dead knowledge. Okay. Our relationship to Jesus is in the power of his resurrection. And that's the only way to really know the real Jesus. Okay, since the time that he came and was risen from the dead, we're dealing with the risen Christ, not a traditional Christ, not traditional knowledge. We're dealing with the power of his resurrection, and this is what we've got to get a hold of. And we need to learn to expect to relate to him in the power of his resurrection. Okay. When our minds are not renewed, sometimes that becomes very difficult for us to envision, but it's always been there. It's always real. You know, maybe our level of faith is low and we're weak in our faith, but it still doesn't make Christ who he is in the power of his resurrection. So the Hebrew word for hard, say hard, we're dealing with a hard place. Is Pela, which carries the context to mean making difficult or impossible things wonderful. Anytime there's a genuine miracle, it is a very wonderful occurrence. You know, we don't fully explain it, but we marvel at a miracle. You know, and I think a lot of times we don't understand the nature of miracles. Making difficult, impossible things wonderful. Say it with me. Making difficult and impossible things wonderful. A miracle is a wonderful thing. When I received Christ as my Savior, that was a miracle. I could not save myself. I had no power or ability to produce real salvation through his death and resurrection. And it was, of course, going back, it was one of the most wonderful, it was the single most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. To know Christ, to know the risen Christ, okay? And sometimes, you know, distance takes us from that day of salvation, where we found out that Christ is real. He is who he says he is. And he is risen from the dead. And the wonderful thing about it is that we should never lose sight of the fact that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you really receive Christ, you don't have to go back again to receive him again. Once you have that reality, nothing can take it from you at that point. And I've always had that witness of the Holy Spirit that I am redeemed, that Christ has really worked a miracle of redemption in my life. You know, we need to continue to be grateful for what he has done. And then, of course, we're to go on. And the Holy Spirit is then to reveal to us the riches of his glory. So I did a teaching on the riches of his glory. I made a list of things, not that they were everything, but, we need to celebrate the fact that we've been blessed with the riches of his glory, and those riches are all basically miracles. Him becoming poor that we might be made rich, that's a miracle. Okay. Now, however, whatever context you want to put that in, and I realize that there has been so much emphasis on wealth and money that it's almost, well, I don't want to get into all that, but I'm going to tell you something. I personally have watched God work in my life from the day I was saved. I mean, he provided cars, he provided money, he provided houses. And he hasn't stopped doing that. I mean, you know, your needs change. Obviously, we're not receiving his provision to compete with anyone or... because it's not about that. It's not about that kind of spirit. It's not about those kind of things. But I can remember God, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, by the way. And I was so in tune with the Holy Spirit. It was just amazing. And, I'm laying on the couch in our little trailer, and I've told this story before, but I'm laying there in the evening, and God, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, in a year from now, he was very specific about it, and that's exactly what happened. I'm going to bless you with your dream home, which wouldn't be someone else's dream home. You know, it isn't about, a multi-million dollar home. It was a place that I was really born there. I was born, near there. And he said, in a year from now, and I told Tony that. She was a witness to it, that she could testify. I went and told her. 1 year from that date, we were living in that home. We were living on 50 acres. You want to talk about the living being easy. There was no taxes. We had a phone bill. That's back then before they had the cell phones, It was an absolute miracle, and I personally was put in the most wonderful place, my dream place, 50 acres. That was a season in my life that was absolutely profound. And I walk with God in that material sense. It isn't all about material things, but He would bless me with vehicles. It was incredible. Well, He's not done doing that yet. I don't mean it that way. Hey, you're not a has-been. God is not done with us because of our age or circumstance. Okay. So hard, difficult, Pela, to be surpassing or extraordinary. Surpassing. A lot of times our expectations. And, that then Pela helped me understand the New Testament, Ephesians 3:20, that He's able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think according to His power that works in us. And obviously His power has to work in us. Okay, if you're going to live denying God's power, and sometimes what happens is we don't even realize we're denying it. We're denouncing it, and we don't even realize what's coming out of our spirit, what's coming out of our heart, what's coming out of our mouth. Boy, did I find that out when I was in a tough situation. A Pela. See? Did I find that out? That I was denying God and I didn't know it. The words of my mouth were betraying me. What was coming out of my mouth was, and I don't think God's angry about that or anything, but we really need to examine our heart, and we need to examine what's coming out of your mouth. God can't bless unbelief. He can't do it. He won't do it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I found, myself having to examine what's coming out of my mouth. What am I really saying? And you say you believe God, but then you're speech is contrary to what He promised, and you don't realize that you're doing it. That's the terrible part about it. What are you agreeing with? Because faith is a condition of the heart of total agreement. Okay, so if you're going to magnify your hard place and not realizing that you're doing it, you're going to stay in that hard place. Okay, and I'm not trying to be mean, but the Lord really dealt with me. You see, like the one time I told Him, I tell that too. But I told Him, because I found myself dealing with conditions of pride, and I just said, Lord, fix that in me, convict me of it. help me overcome it. And I don't mean that I've fully overcome it. I don't mean that, but I am growing in that area. The Holy Spirit will help you. You see, He will help you if you want His help. If you're sensitive to the fact that you need to grow, and there are times that you need correction, okay? God's not being mean. You're just sabotaging your faith. And you don't, sometimes you're just ignorant of it. You're careless. You don't know it, okay? I'm just trying to help you. I mean, I can talk about all the glorious things that Pela will do if you're not sabotaging your walk with God, okay? It's so important. And of course, that is what really the reality of what the children of Israel did. That was their testimony. I have scripture here in the... let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, if we could, on this teaching. You remember the scriptures in the back of the teaching. Okay. Okay, and if we can't find it, that's okay. I have in the back of the teaching, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, and it just says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock." And followed them. Okay, what am I doing here? Spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. I mean, they had it all in their guidance through the wilderness. Christ was that rock. They had Him as a rock. You want to talk about stability and security. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. They never entered into their appointed inheritance because they murmured and complained against God and against Moses. And then in Numbers 14, 22 and 23, yeah, Numbers. "Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times." Now, we're not saying there wasn't a test coming out of Egypt, or coming, their faith was tested coming out of Egypt and coming through the wilderness, but they never passed the test. And it says, "Seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness." They saw these miracles and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. They provoke God with unbelief. They provoke God with complaining. Okay. And yet, we just have to be careful about murmuring and complaining, because it's a sin. It's a terrible sin. You know, we're to give thanks in everything, right? Instead of complaining about our life. And then, getting pretty serious here, isn't it? And then in Numbers 14:29, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered for you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Now, I did get a definition for murmuring, and it's kind of on my phone, but I didn't type it out. Say murmur. Say complain. It's a sin of unbelief against God. Stop. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying that if you are, that needs to be completely removed from your heart and your vocabulary. It should never come out of your mouth. And yet, of course, it does. You know, and we open the door to not only Satan, but our unbelief stops the blessing from occurring. And then Numbers 14:33 and 34, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days of which you searched the land, even 40 days. So they searched the land 40 days, and they were in the wilderness 40 years. Each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years you shall know my breach of promise. And then in Numbers 21:5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, whereof have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? That's what they saw. God didn't bring them to die in the wilderness. He was going to take them through the wilderness to the promised land. It wasn't without testing, of course. All faith is tested before it can be proven that we trust it. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loath this light bread. So he gave them bread. You know, sometimes God gives us something, and then he tests us of whether we're going to be grateful for it and thankful for it. Amen? I mean, are you thankful for the money you have? Are you thankful for the car you drive? Are you thankful for the food you eat? And I've always found that when we are thankful and we celebrate that, it opens the door to God's favor and he gives us more. There's not a doubt in my mind about it. But we can't murmur and complain, and we can't confess that we lack. We do not lack. We just believe that we lack. You know. And that's why we celebrate the glory of our inheritance. He became poor that we might become rich. And, you know, I find that to be true in areas where I really, really believe, and I'm grateful for it every day. Tomorrow for you is the day of salvation where his provision is secure. Okay. It's awful quiet here. You should never let the idea of lack come out of your mouth. And sometimes, you know, that's all people talk about is lack. Are you awake? They complain about, you know, conditions. And you can't do that. That's not faith, that's unbelief. That brings the curse of that condition in your life. And you're the one that did it. You can, you know, people go through life, you know, trying to blame someone else. And I'm going to just tell you right now, no one else can take from you what God gave you unless you allow them to. No one can stop your blessing but you. Okay, what we need to do is learn to be single-minded. Okay, about what we have inherited in Christ. We need to become single-minded. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Okay, now you're not going to get away from having to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going to get away from having to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're going to walk by sight, then that shadow of death is there. We're walking through it, and it's communicating to you all the curses and things that can go wrong. And you get into fear, and then we get into confusion, then we get into doubt and unbelief. You know, and, you know, we don't know where God is, what's gone wrong. You went wrong. That's what went wrong. I kind of like that Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Life is a valley. I'm sorry, it's a valley. And that shadow of death is there in this world, and it's constantly communicating to you your demise, your failure, all the things that exist in. If you want to really look it up, you can look up the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, and you can see all those things that shadow is reflecting. And then, of course, there is the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place. There's a secret place of hiding in Christ. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Christ is our secret place. We will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We abide under the shadow of our redemptive blessings, our relationship with Him. And then it goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, say it with me, I will say of the Lord. Are you going to magnify the Lord or are you going to magnify Satan and the fallen realm? See, that's where what it comes down to. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers. Under His wings shall we trust. We shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. See what I'm saying? You know. You can't intermingle. It's either one or the other. And your mind has to be renewed. You can't talk unbelief one day and then belief the next day. It isn't going to work that way. And, you know, I kind of found myself in a situation, and that's probably exactly what was happening. I believed in healing, but I felt like I was completely overcome by a circumstance that was beyond myself, my ability to overcome it. And my wife knew that I was struggling and she knew that I was failing. And I didn't realize that I had a mixed confession. A compromise confession. I would say one thing one time and then I would magnify the shadow of death the next. Because I'm walking through the shadow of death. We're very close to that. We're not going to get away from that in this life. That's why He says He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. I don't like to eat in the presence of my enemies. I don't like to eat at that table, but as long as we're in this world, we're in the presence of our enemies. That isn't going to change until Christ returns and this world changes. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Whose shadow are you under? Whose shadow is influencing your life more stronger? You know, and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit because He started to help me, but convict me of my what was coming out of my mouth. I felt defeated. I felt embarrassed. I felt that, what kind of example am I setting? I'm not advocating that I may not fail. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that Jesus is really real. He's really risen from the dead. You know, and He promises that He would be a God to us and we would be His people. I did this message on we're going to close here pretty soon, but I did on Pela, say Pela. Say, I'm overcoming the impossible. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. We don't have any comprehension of what he has made. By thy great power, is his power great? And stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard, Pela. There is nothing. Say it with me. There is nothing too hard, Pela. The word hard means Pela, for thee. Yeah. You know, God, we all, every one of us, are going to find ourselves in all kinds of situations that are testing our faith. Everyone, you know, is tested in their life in all kinds of areas. What are you gonna believe God for? Well, I know I'm redeemed. Are you redeemed? I mean, I'm redeemed by his blood. I have never doubted that. But sometimes I've doubted some of the benefits of redemption. I've never been confused about that. I've never doubted. Because my salvation, when I received Christ as my Savior, it was so real that I just could never, ever, ever bring myself to deny it. In spite of the enemy making me want to believe that I'm not saved, that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't care. There have been times I in my mind I thought that. You're tested to the limit. I'm just telling you, you will be tested in this life while you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're walking through these things. You're walking through the things that you are going through. Say going through. You're walking and talking faith. I wish we didn't have to go through things. I wish that we didn't have. And sometimes you know, the enemy will say to you, well, God's unfair. Huh? He will say that to you. He will say, well, if God, he will say, well, if God really loved you, you know, why are you going through this? And of course, you're feeling sorry for yourself at that point. I don't have all the answers. All I know is that I was redeemed by his blood. By the blood of the Lamb, we've overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Are you established in the word? Is he your healer or isn't he? And boy, I'll tell you, you know, Brother Bivington, you read his book, you'll see the power of true healing take place. Not only in his own life, because he ran into some physical problems. I can't believe some of the things that guy overcame. And the people that he helped is just remarkable. There is a God, and his power is real. And his plan is settled. It's established. It doesn't matter what age, generation, year, circumstance. You know, you can say, well, if things weren't this way, I could believe. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. How many know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Come on, help me. Hallelujah. He's the same. Let's stand up for a minute. Let's put our, last week we were just thanking him for our brains being, I'm talking about physical brains now. You know, my brain needed an overhaul, and I have received it. I am not going to doubt it. I am not going to doubt it. We just thank you, Lord. We're not going to doubt that you are restoring our mental faculties and glorifying yourself in it. If you got body parts that need to be restored, then receive that restoration. Don't resign yourself to anything less than what redemption's best. I'm not going to do it. Well, you know, we're getting old and we just have to accept it because, no, that's not the Bible. He didn't say when you get a certain age, he can no longer heal you. Please find that in the Bible. You know, and that's the way we think. Well, I'm getting old and I just have to accept it. And that's human reason. You understand? I'm speaking right now life that came from the cross, the power of his resurrection. I'm thanking him for a new brain. He's given me, he has given me new body parts. I'm just telling you right now. There have been people that there were people that walked in faith where they could actually have the faith to see an arm or a leg grow out. I'm agreeing with you that the power of the Holy Spirit is working, okay, in our circumstance, in our mortal bodies, in our needs. You know, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's a spiritual need, he's at work right now. He's glorifying himself in us. Okay, now our expectations have been low, but that's going to change, and we're going to receive from God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's thank him that, let's do a salvation message, because this goes out over the air, that if we, let's say it, if we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart, that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Okay. And that's the same way with anything else he promised. If we confess with our mouth,